everybody. Welcome to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News. Our guest today, Troy Peach of the Perrys. You also hear him on Singing News Radio, and there is no telling where else you may encounter Troy Peach. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Danny. How about you?
I'm doing great. Glad you are with us today. We're going to talk about everything and anything. It's fair game, I guess you could say.
I don't know about being on this side of the mic with you over there. This is just odd.
You're not nervous, are you?
Maybe, because I know how you are.
Okay, all right. Well, for those folks who may not know the career path of Troy Peach, let's cover that first. Where did you get your start?
How long is this podcast?
We can go as long as necessary.
Believe it or not, this year, Danny, for me, celebrates 21 years in full-time Southern gospel music now.
21 years.
21
wow.
years that I've actually been, somebody's actually paid me to do this.
Wow.
Believe it or not. So I started 21 years ago with the Wilburns, you know, Jackie and Elaine, Carthage, Tennessee. And believe it or not, I was just playing piano there. That's all I did.
Right. That was one thing I was going to point out. A lot of people know you as a vocalist, but they do not know that you can also play piano. Did it for a long time. And every now and then, I see you wander over to a piano during sound check. You got to keep it up a little bit there, don't you?
Well, and believe it or not, you know, for years, I hadn't played for years. And my kids are, believe it or not, now my kids are 13. And so I've been talking about getting my kids, you know, more involved in playing and stuff. So I have somehow acquired a set of drums not too long ago, and from a kid off Facebook trying to make some money. So I bought a set of drums. Well, I was looking for a piano, and Josh Franks and I were helping one of the greatest guys that ever came across gospel music, the legend himself. We were helping Jerry and Jan Goff move, and we were there in his home in Nashville, and I noticed there was a piano sitting there, and I asked Josh, Jerry was out of the room, I said, "What's Jerry going to do with that piano?" And he said, "Well, as far as I know," he said, "I think he's, you know, just going to have somebody come pick it up." I said, "Well, let me be the guy that's going to pick it up." So I talked to Jerry that day. I said, "Dr. Goff," I said, what are you doing with this piano?" And he said, "Oh my, I don't know, you know." And so I said, "If you're just going to give it away," I said, "let me have it." I said, "I'd love to." So that ended up being a whole thing. Jerry sat down that day and played for me, and he and Jan even signed the top of the piano. So once again, I actually have a piano in my home. So I've actually been playing a little more now than I have in a long time.
And you now own a piece of Southern gospel music.
Do because that has been in his office for years.
Right. And I mean, Jerry is not one of those persons who throws things away.
No,
he
not
keeps
at all.
It all.
Yes,
he's not a hoarder.
Right.
But it's a very rare moment when he lets something go out
Agreed.
Of the building.
Agreed.
All right. So from the Wilburns, you went to
the Steels. I sang with the Steels. First song I ever did there was On the Road to Emmaus. We were right in the middle of the For the Sake of My Children album when I joined the Steels. They had just released that one, and the second single off that album was On the Road to Emmaus, and we recut that live. We had a live version of that that went out. So I was with the Steels then for 6 years, believe it or not.
Wow, 6 years. I didn't realize it was quite that long. Yeah. And then from the Steels.
From the Steels, while I was at the Steels, that's where I met Katie. We met in Indianapolis at the Gaither Homecoming taping, and I just thought she was hot stuff there when she was with the Neelands. And we got married, and then we started our group. We had our group First Love that we traveled and sang for almost 3 years, I guess it was, till we had the boys. That First Love morphed into TK and McCray. You remember with mm-hmm. Annie McCray and Miss Amanda. Well, then she was Amanda Till, but that was the group, TK and McCray. That came off the road, and honestly, we had kind of settled into being normal. We were going to be normal for a minute. I was normal for 3 whole days. Not kidding. I had got a job with UPS. I was working for UPS. 3 days into that job, I got a phone call from Tracy Stuffel that said, "My bus driver just quit. I need somebody to come drive." And I'm like, "Tracy, I just started this job." I said, "I can't. I'm done. I've come off the road." "No, come on. This is my last run of the year." It was December. He said, I just got 10 days." He said, "I promise you, I'll pay you more than they're going to pay you anyway. And that's just seasonal work. You don't know if you're ever going to go back anyway." So I went to work for Tracy Stuffel. I left out on Wednesday night that night. And 2 days into that trip, he hired me, and I guess you say the rest is history.
So. That's right. So total number of years with the Perrys now.
Total number of years now with the Perrys is 8. Now, that's split up into 2 4-year stints. I was with them for 4 years, and I left for 4 years and went with Mike and Kelly Bowling after right. their horrible bus crash.
Right.
I helped them come back on the road and kind of, you know, get things all back together. And then after being with them for 4 years, I've been back with the Perrys now for 4 years. So I'm one of the few that actually left the group and came back. I can't right. believe they would have me.
And
back.
On good terms.
And on good terms.
That's the best part.
That is.
Well, you know, you've got such a great track record in Southern gospel music. You've seen a lot of things take place. And, you know, Tracy was right. You are a lifer. You're one of those guys who, once this got in your blood, you really don't want to go anywhere else. Yeah. I foresee a time when Troy Peach will retire from the world of gospel music, and that's where he wants to
yeah,
retire from.
I really, really do. You know, I consider myself that way. You know, I'll be one of those Howard and Vestals, you know, that, you know, I'd be just as happy to die somewhere singing or putting up a speaker. You know, I mean, that's...
well, I don't know. I think singing would be the better of those two options there. Yeah, right. Those speakers are heavy.
You ain't kidding.
That's right. All right, let's throw a few things at you that you don't see coming. I'm going to throw out two or three names to you, and I want your first reaction to
Uh-oh.
These names.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, take a deep breath.
Okay.
Jeanette Cook.
One of my all-time favorites. Now, I grew up listening to the Singing Cooks. When I was growing up, my favorite groups of all time were the McCamies, Singing Cooks, Spencers. I mean, that... Wilburns. I mean, I have to honestly say that was the real deal. And when I think of Jeanette Cook, to me, the first word that comes to mind is legend.
All right. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. You handled that one real well.
All right.
This episode of the Danny's Diary podcast is sponsored by IMC Concerts, the premier concert and event promotions company for the very best in gospel music. Make your plans now to attend IMC's Branson Praise Fest event. It's held every March in the heart of the world-renowned entertainment and vacation destination known as Branson, Missouri. Branson Praise Fest features your favorite gospel music artists, including Legacy 5, Greater Vision, the Booth Brothers, the Collingsworth Family, Cana's Voice, Triumphant Quartet, and many more. For more information and to purchase your tickets for this exciting event, visit www.bransonpraisefest.com or call 800-965-9324. Thanks to our good friends at IMC Concerts for sponsoring this episode of the Danny's Diary podcast.
Let's go to Scott Brand of Gold City.
Scott Brand of Gold City. My mind's a blank. I'm just kidding. You talk about a young guy, because, I mean, he's only been in this, out here for a couple, 3 years.
Right.
But you talk about another lifer, there's another lifer.
Right.
Scott will be here, and one of the funniest guys I have ever met out here on the
road. I'm not sure he even tries to be.
No, he doesn't.
He's one of those guys that you, myself, and several others, we watch in amazement that he can actually walk and breathe at the same time.
Yes,
I believe that was a quote from one of our other friends.
Yes,
but Scott is one of our dear friends. Yes. He is a great guy. All right, here's another name. Bill Bailey.
You know what? Lifesaver. Bill Bailey has been a lifesaver, I believe, to the world of Southern gospel music. He is one of the few promoters that is still promoting the entire country. I mean, from Monroe, Louisiana, to Florida, to Jackson, Tennessee, to Indiana. I honestly believe that Bill is a lifesaver to gospel music.
All right, one more. Libby Stuffel.
Dedicated, genuine, and absolutely amazing. I've never met anybody like Libby Stuffel. Never.
You're listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News. If you are not a subscriber to Singing News magazine, we can take care of that with one simple phone call. All you need to do is dial 800-527-5226 or visit singingnews.com. Follow the subscription tab, and you can keep up with everything that's going on in the world of Southern gospel music. Our guest today, Troy Peach of the Perrys, but also of the Singing News Radio Network. Troy, how did you get involved in radio?
Yeah, how did I get involved in radio? Wow. Believe it or not, I was working in radio when I graduated high school. There was a local AM station here in Nashville, WZRS. Mike Eady was the station manager and owner at the time. And I was traveling in a little local group over in the Murfreesboro, Smyrna area where that station was out of. And I had met him at several concerts and things like that. And I'd always, when I was a kid, man, I used to sit in my basement and I would play radio. You know, I'd have little microphones and, you know, tape decks and the whole bit. Just something I did as a kid. And he asked me one day, he said, well, why don't you just come by the station? He said, I could use you sometime. Well, that ended up in 6 or 8 hours a day he could use me. And at the time, there was no, you know, we had Solid Gospel, which now is Singing News Radio. It had a flagship station in Nashville, which was 760 AM. Well, they had gone off the air, and it was before the time of the big FM station came into Nashville. And so there was no Southern Gospel Radio in Nashville. We were a little 250-watt AM station, but we were a stereo AM station, and it was clear channel where we were at. So we covered all of Nashville. And at the time, we had the rating of the number one Christian music station in Nashville. Wow. It was absolutely. But I did. I graduated high school, and I went to work in radio.
And now here you are.
And now here I am doing it all over.
You know, the old saying, the rest is history.
You've got history.
Two of those in your repertoire. Let's where do you see Southern gospel music going in the next 10, 15 years?
You know what, Danny, I you know, just like everybody else, I hear the oh my, you know, we're dying off, you know, it's getting smaller and smaller, it's getting harder and harder. All my life I feel like I've heard people say that, mm-hmm. you know, but the more I hear people say that, the more I see great concerts still going on. How many full-time groups we have out here actually making a living doing what we're doing. We have a radio network, we have a satellite, you know, radio station. I see Southern gospel as one of those types of music that's going to continue on forever. Yes, we're going to have our ups, yes, we're going to have our downs, but I see Southern gospel still being here and still being more alive than ever.
And you know, you bring up a good point there when you say Southern gospel is more alive than ever. If you stop and think about it, through all the different media formats, radio, TV, social media, that type of thing, you know, it's very possible. And I think this is 100% accurate. I think Southern gospel music is in front of more people than ever before. It's just a challenge from the business end. To make it work for everybody.
Right. I totally agree.
So we were talking about Southern gospel music there. What's the biggest crowd that you've ever sang in front of?
Oh, wow. Biggest crowd. I guess biggest crowd I ever sang in front of was probably back in the day in Louisville when we would be packed out there with, what was that, 19,000?
A little over 19,000.
Yeah, a little over 19,000. That was probably because Steels, I remember one year, did a Friday night at NQC, and it was one of the big nights. And I remember that kind of taking my breath away when I walked down the tunnel that night and looked, and I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of people in here.
Do you ever have a moment of stage fright?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still do. And I think probably now, more so now than ever, being that, you know, I handle all the MC duties for the Perrys, I feel like right before we walk on, all that falls on me, you know. And I always wondered with Tracy, because Tracy was a master MC. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Tracy was very underrated at his MC work. And I always wondered, you know, I would see him right before we would walk out on stage. I didn't care back then. You know, I was walking out singing my little baritone notes and not thinking about it. But I would always see Tracy kind of get over to himself. You know, he'd be real quiet. He'd be thinking. And I'm like, what is his deal, you know? Now that's me over in the corner thinking, okay, what am I going to do for the next 25, 30 minutes?
Right. Well, you know, as an MC and as a performer, if you walk on stage more than once, you've automatically doubled your odds of saying something stupid and something
yes.
that you wish you could take back.
Yeah. Me, that kind of goes, that just really happens often.
Right. Is there something that you can share with everyone right now that you wish you could take back, or is that something you would rather just move away from?
Yeah, let's move right along, Danny.
Okay.
We'll not go there.
All right, we'll just print it in the Singing News magazine.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what we'll do.
Exactly.
Hey, everyone, thanks for tuning in to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News Magazine and Singing News Radio. Troy, thanks for coming by today and being a guest on Danny's Diary. We appreciate your service to Southern gospel music, everything you do for the Perrys, for Singing News Radio, and of course, everything that you're doing for gospel music in general. Any last thoughts before we leave?
No, Danny, but this has been fun. I'll be honest. This has been a good day.
Well, we may have to do it again. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to Danny's Diary. We appreciate you tuning in. Be watching for the announcement of the next podcast. We'll see you soon.